Welcome back to Building the Bakken, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Ron Ness, president of the North Dakota Petroleum Council.
Well, I think certainly the new normal is really the issue that we all want to know. But it's not going to take us 186 drilling rigs. I don't think that with the efficiency they've gained and their ability to do this that much better, we're gonna ultimately have to find a new measuring stick for the activity. It may be completions, it may be, I don't know, but the drilling rig has always been the barometer of industry, and I don't think it's going to be that anymore. I think that we should start talking about that now after this conference, because you can do so much more with 80 or 130 drilling rigs than we could with 186, or our peak was 215, I think, 218. So those are good questions. You've got better infrastructure. You can already see it. Brian, as you drove through and you drove by Watford City, amazing, amazing change in the infrastructure, the ability to move. The pipelines continue to make that difference. The gas plants make that difference. So I think it'll look differently. And it was going to eventually get there as we became a more mature oil field. But I think this probably exasperates that, because you basically ramp down, then you ramp back up, and companies are going to be likely much more strategic with their dollar. And you know, the one thing that I would say that people will be looking for and hearing is that, you know, there was concern that there's a lot of different places to put your dollar. When that dollar comes back and I decide that I've got rigs to place, are they going into Eagleford, the Permian, the Scoop, the Stack, the Niobrara? And the one comforting thing that I think you'll hear out of the CEOs is that the Bakken is still one or two on my asset list. So all things being equal, if I've got a market, a good price, the infrastructure, we want those rigs and those dollars and those jobs back here. And I think that was something that I certainly was concerned about prior to this winter, but we've heard consistently from the major operators the Bakken is still on the top of the asset list.
To listen to the full-length interview with Ron Ness, president of the North Dakota Petroleum Council, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Next, we hear from Lynn Helms, executive director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources.
And you're touching on really what does the new normal look like? And it's a very different picture than what 2012 looked like. For example, rig efficiency. The average drilling rig today can drill 24 wells a year. And at that point in time, it was 8 to 10 wells in a year. At that time, it took 2,000 semi-loads of material moving in and out of that well site in order to get through that drilling phase in the first year of production. That's now down to 1,250, headed for 250 as the pipeline infrastructure develops. At that time, more than likely, the well was going to flare because it was the first well in a spacing unit. Now, 9 out of 10 are going to have access to a pipeline, and 90% of the gas is going to be gathered and processed. And I think, you know, the gas capture plans are in place. A really good illustration of this is an operator's proposal to drill under the city of Williston. Haven't had any wells under the city of Williston, a nice six square mile area with no wells under it, because they were putting their plans in place. They plan to drill 39 wells under that 4 square miles in the city of Williston. They're going to do it from multi-well pads outside the city limits. The gas lines are going to be in place. They expect zero flaring, very little truck traffic, pipelines in place. They're going to do it in batches. Every other month, they're going to add another batch of wells. With the peak production is planned. The gas gatherers have been told when that's going to happen and how it's going to happen. Very much more planned and rational development program as you go forward in a $60-plus dollar oil world. Now, if the OPEC secretary is right and the seeds have been planted for a very high oil price, that could change. On a short term, but in the long term, as we look at the decade and a half it's going to take to drill out the Bakken, much more rational, much more planned.
To listen to the full-length interview with Lynn Helms, executive director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crowe, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam, for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Bruce Immel, Associate Vice President for the National Energy Center of Excellence.
Bruce Immel, I'm the Associate Vice President of the National Energy Center of Excellence at Bismarck State College.
Boy, that's that building. I go to an annual energy convention there every year. It overlooks the Missouri River, isn't it?
It's very beautiful. We're really fortunate to have that building. Very nice building, great labs, and it's been a really nice part of our campus.
So tell me about what you guys are doing at Bismarck State College when it comes to just the energy world and the energy play and energy education.
Sure. We really expanded our programs here. We used to have 3 energy programs. Now we have 12. We've grown a lot over the last 10, 15 years, from line workers, petroleum operators, nuclear plant operators, you know, fossil plants, renewable wind techs, instrument techs, mechanics. So we got a big, broad list of programs, 2-year degrees, also 1 4-year degree, energy management. So a lot of it's online as well as in the classroom. So some great opportunities. You can take the class any place you live, you know, log in online, take your classes, do your studies. And so it's really flexible, and it's a hot thing. Energy is a good thing, and
you know, when people think of 2 years, they automatically, I think of maybe a tech school.
Sure.
Are you guys a tech school, a community-based school? Talk to me about that.
Yeah, Bismarck State's a community college, so we have liberal arts as well as we have 38 technical programs on campus as well. So kind of a mix. We offer 1 bachelor's degree, energy management. We're kind of unique in that regards, having a bachelor's degree. But industry really knows our students, knows our programs, and they just want us to have more kind of train their mid-level managers, supervisors, and that bachelor's degree. So we're about 4,000 students there on campus, and third biggest college in North Dakota.
Did you guys see an increase in the last few years with students?
We pretty much doubled our enrollments here with energy about 5 years ago. Now it's kind of holding its own. We're about 1,000 students a year or so in the energy areas, but pretty steady. Some are up, some are down program-wise, but overall been very good.
So you're about to go into a meeting with a bunch of industry professionals to kind of do an audit on your course. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yep. All of our programs have advisory committees. Really make sure we're teaching the latest and greatest technology, stay up to date with industry. So we meet twice a year, face-to-face. They go through our curriculum, look at some of our animation simulations we do and stuff like that, give us feedback. We've written a few textbooks for our programs, you know, they help review textbooks. They help us get our hands on more equipment for our labs. So really some strong industry ties. We couldn't do it without them. That's really a key component for us as industry.
And talk to me about some of the other non-oil and energy growth that you guys have maybe you haven't had it, but doubling your enrollment, I think it's probably coming from some other manufacturing sides or some other things. Are you seeing some growth outside of oil and gas?
We are. The campus as a whole is doing really well. There's a really strong interest in nursing. Nursing's really been growing for us. GIS, Global Information Systems. Yeah. We're starting cybersecurity here in the fall, so a big need for cybersecurity, as I'm sure you're aware. So yeah, the whole college is doing well. Welding's always really good. Of course, it's got an energy tie, but also non-energy tie. Some of our older programs, HVAC, has been doing well recently. And so again, you know, great jobs for 2 years of school. You know, it's you can't beat it, really.
I spoke with John Springsteen from Simtronics, and he mentioned Bismarck College, State College, was one of his clients.
Sure.
And you mentioned simulation. So
yeah.
are you seeing more of this computer screen technology coming?
Absolutely. You know, most of our students today were raised, you know, with iPads and whatnot. So they're used to that online interaction. you know, a textbook is kind of boring to them. They want to be stimulated, you know, whether it's online simulations or animations or whatnot. And so we do use some Simtronic stuff. We also built some of our own, a couple other companies we work with as well. But yeah, you know, students are raised on, you know, SimCity, SimTower. So we got a little Sim power plant they can operate, you know, online and keep them engaged. That's the key.
To listen to the full-length interview with Bruce Immel, Associate Vice President with the National Energy Center of Excellence, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.